You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
On May 26, 2009, 27-year-old Tracy Ocasio spent the night watching the Orlando Magic game at one of her favorite bars in Orlando, Florida. She told her mother she'd be home afterward, but she never returned. The next morning, Tracy didn't answer her phone, and by that evening, her yellow Chevy Cobalt was found abandoned just a few miles from her house, unlocked, and none of her belongings inside. 16 years later, she is still missing, leaving her family, friends, and community asking the question, where is Tracy Ocasio? Hey everyone, welcome back to Detective Perspective. My name is Derek Levasseur. I'm a licensed private investigator and former police detective. Each week I'll be covering an unsolved case in story format. I'll then give you my perspective on the investigation and provide contact information for the individuals or organizations connected to the case so that if you have any tips, you can contact them directly and maybe you can help solve a case. So if you're someone who's interested in true crime, specifically unsolved cases, and you would like to hear my opinion on those investigations, please consider subscribing, whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever platform you use. Okay, we're back. First off, I hope everyone had a great holiday week, whether you were celebrating Thanksgiving or not. It was great to be around friends and family, have some good food, but now we got to get back into it before Christmas, right? So we're diving right in with a strong case, and the reason I say a strong case because I believe with this one, it's not a whodunit. We know what happened here, and we more than likely know who's responsible for it. So on tonight's episode, it's going to be a little different. At the end, when I give my perspective, usually I'm talking about what we can do, and there's going to be a little bit of that. But I'm also going to be talking to the person who I think is directly responsible for what happened to Tracy. And hopefully, it leads somewhere. We'll have to see. But before we get there, we have to talk about what happened and why I'm sitting here today covering Tracy's case. So I don't want to waste any more time. Let's dive into this week's episode. Tracy Eileen Ocasio was born on August 10th, 1981 to her parents Liz and Joe. She grew up in Virginia, where she was known for being outgoing and able to make friends wherever she went. Tracy was very close to her parents, and as a family, they spent a lot of time in Florida. Then, during the summer before Tracy's senior year, Joe's job transferred the family to the Orlando area, and they end up settling in Ocoee. Adjusting wasn't easy at first. Tracy missed her friends and her old home, but over time she found her footing and built a life in Florida. After high school, she continued living with her parents while she worked different jobs and tried to figure out what she wanted to do with her life. According to Investigation Discovery's Disappeared, by spring of 2009, Tracy was 27, living at home, and still very close with her parents, but she had reached a point where she wanted to start making changes, moving out, building a career, maybe even starting a family. And she was beginning to take steps toward that, but tragically, she would never get the chance to accomplish those goals. On May 26, 2009, the Orlando Magic were playing the Cleveland Cavaliers. Tracy was a huge fan of the Magic, and she and her dad Joe went to as many games as they could. But Joe was out of town that day, and Tracy didn't have tickets, so she planned to watch the game at one of her favorite spots, the Florida Tap Room on Raleigh Street in Orlando. It was a familiar place with a regular game day crowd and a fun atmosphere. Before leaving home, she told her mom Liz that she'd be back after the game and that she had no plans to stay out overnight. So she ends up at the tap room and she gets to watch the Magic win, and she enjoyed the celebration with everyone there. Then at around 1:30 a.m., she decided to call it a night. Liz had already gone to sleep and didn't realize Tracy never made it home. When Liz woke up around 6:30 a.m., she checked Tracy's room, but she wasn't there. Liz didn't panic immediately. She later told Investigation Discovery that she assumed Tracy may have had too much to drink and decided to stay with a friend. So Liz sent Tracy a text asking where she was, but she didn't receive a reply. And by 8 a.m., Liz started to worry. She kept reaching out, hoping Tracy would respond, but she never did. So at that point, Liz decided to call Tracy's friends, but none of them had seen or heard from her either. She then contacted the hospital and even the jail, anywhere she thought might have information, but she had no luck. At this point, Liz was extremely worried, but she didn't want to alert the police just yet, as Tracy was an adult. So she stayed at home, close to the phone, hoping to hear from her. That evening, Ocoee police found a two-door yellow Chevy Cobalt abandoned in the front yard of a home near Franklin and Lyle Street, just a few miles from the Ocasio house. The car was unlocked, and the owner's keys, wallet, and phone were not inside. When officers ran the plates, they came back to Tracy. At around 7 p.m., officers called the phone number listed on the registration, which was a landline at Tracy's parents' home. Liz answered, and the officers told her that Tracy's car had been abandoned and needed to be moved. Liz rushed to the address, and as soon as she saw the car, she knew something was wrong. You see, both front seats were pushed all the way forward, as if something needed to be removed from the back seat. Liz knew the car wasn't drivable in that position, and she couldn't think of a single reason why Tracy would leave her car like that at that location. And as an officer, when we respond there, just to give them some credit here and not look at this from the perspective of why wouldn't they have done more, in my career, I've located hundreds of abandoned vehicles, and they've been found in various circumstances and locations. And sometimes it's a stolen vehicle that was taken on a joyride. Other times there's something wrong with the vehicle that I just can't see from the outside. And then there's also some occasions where someone's under the weather or maybe had too much to drink and they pull over to the side of the road and a friend or family member picks them up. So initially, without having anything more or any context leading up to how the car got there, it's reasonable that officers would look at the vehicle. Yeah, see that the seats were pushed forward, but not really think anything of it because, again, without knowing context, you could just assume that the vehicle was being operated by the driver and that maybe they had friends in the back seat and the car broke down or for whatever reason they wanted to leave it there. And so after letting those people out of the back seat, maybe they forgot to move the seats back into the normal position. Very possible. Now for Liz, it's completely different because she has that background information. She knows that the last person driving that car was her daughter Tracy, and she was alone. She knows that Tracy went to the bar to watch the Magic play, and her intentions were to come right back home. She also knows how close they lived to where the car was located. So all of these factors, and knowing that she hasn't been able to get in touch with Tracy, she's immediately able to deduce that something is severely wrong here. And unfortunately, she's spot on. We have a lot more to talk about, including surveillance footage that was recovered from the bar that night. Stick around. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Promoting cat food when I don't actually have a cat seems like it would be hard, but it's not. Because so many people speak so highly about Smalls cat food, including my sister, who is the ultimate endorsement because her cats are her kids, that I'm actually excited to share Smalls with all of you. And I never realized that the cat food my friends and family buy has so many bad ingredients, and you need to know that there are better options out there. So you got to ask yourself a few questions. Does your cat have gut issues? Do you want them to have a healthier, shinier coat? Do you want less stinky litter boxes? If you answered yes to any of those questions, maybe it's time for a diet upgrade with Smalls. Speaking of which, this podcast is sponsored by Smalls. For a limited time, you can get 60% off your first order plus free shipping when you head to smalls.com/detective. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find right in your fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. That's why cats.com named Smalls their best overall cat food. And starting with Smalls is easy. Just share info about your cat's diet, health, and food preferences. Then Smalls puts together a personalized sampler for your cat, so no more picking between random brands at the store, and Smalls has the right food to satisfy any cat's cravings. Smalls was started by a couple of guys back in 2017 who were cooking cat food in small batches for their friends. A few short years later, they've served millions of meals to cats across the U.S. Plus, Smalls worked with the Humane World for Animals. Through the Humane World for Animals, they've donated over $1 million worth of food to help cats, and they even give you the chance to donate at checkout, so you can donate $5 for flea and tick medications or $7 for vaccines. And now, in addition to the cat food, you can order other cat favorites like amazing treats and snacks to your Smalls order. And the team at Smalls is so confident that your cat will love their product that you can try it risk-free. That means they'll give you a refund if your cat won't eat their food. So what are you waiting for? Give your cat the food they deserve. For a limited time, because you are a Detective Perspective listener or viewer, you can get 60% off your first order plus free shipping when you head over to smalls.com/detective. One last time, that's 60% off your first order plus free shipping when you head to smalls.com/detective. All right, we're back. And as I said before the break, Liz was convinced almost immediately that something was seriously wrong. So she called Joe and told him what she saw, and together they agreed that they needed to report Tracy missing to the police. Liz then proceeded to tell Ocoee police everything she knew up to that point, and after they heard that Tracy had last been seen at the tap room in Orlando, they notified Orlando police, and detectives began looking into Tracy's final movements. So as you would imagine, they went straight to the tap room to speak with staff, and a bartender confirmed seeing Tracy the night before and said nothing seemed unusual. He also told detectives that there was surveillance footage from that night, which investigators were able to review. Now, here's where it gets interesting, because that footage showed Tracy leaving the bar at around 1:30 a.m., but she was with a man. And that man was quickly identified as 28-year-old James Virgil Hathaway, who goes by Jimmy. Tracy had met him at the tap room about a week earlier. And this is obviously a huge break in the case, because any reasonable person would assume that whatever happened to Tracy happened shortly after she left the bar. So how do we know that? Well, we know from Liz that Tracy informed her she was going to come right back home after the game. So something occurred within a small window of time to cause her to deviate from those plans. Whether it was intentional or involuntary, we don't know. But seeing her leaving the bar with Jimmy is huge, because you have to assume, if this happened within a reasonable amount of time after leaving the bar, it's a really short list of people who could potentially be involved. Jimmy is at the top of that list. And when detectives dug into Jimmy's background, the first thing that stood out was that he lived in the 100 block of Lyle Street, which is just 150 yards from where Tracy's car had been abandoned. And as they looked further into Jimmy, he also had a criminal history that raised even more concerns. As a minor, he had been convicted of kidnapping, and as an adult, he had convictions for DUI, reckless driving, and drug possession. And at the time Tracy disappeared, he was out on bail for criminal mischief. After reviewing the surveillance footage, detectives went directly to Jimmy's home in Ocoee to interview him about what happened the night before. According to the Orlando Sentinel, Jimmy said that he had met Tracy at the bar and asked for a ride home. She agreed. And once they got to his house, Tracy wanted to smoke weed, so they went inside. But if we're to believe Jimmy, he said that when they went inside, she didn't like the weed he had, so she left soon after at around 2 a.m. And he hadn't seen or heard from her since. As you might expect, detectives did not believe Jimmy. They questioned why Tracy would leave his house, drive 150 yards, and then abandon her car. Doesn't make a lot of sense. But unfortunately, there was nothing else they could do at that point. In fact, they had to transfer the case back to Ocoee Police now that Jimmy admitted Tracy had last been seen at his place in Ocoee. And you may be frustrated by this, but this is the right move. This is what has to be done because at this point, the last place our victim has been seen alive is in the jurisdiction of Ocoee. Now, does that mean that Ocoee and Orlando Police won't work together at least to exchange information and make sure that Ocoee has all the pertinent details? That's how it should work. That would certainly be what's optimal in this case. And based on what we know, there's nothing to indicate that that isn't what occurred. So again, frustrating. It's kind of getting juggled around, but that's just the way it works. If the crime potentially occurred in Ocoee, Ocoee investigators have to investigate it. And once Ocoee Police took the case over, their detectives brought Jimmy in for additional questioning. And at that point, he repeated the same account he had given to Orlando Police, saying that Tracy had drove him home and then went in his house, and shortly after deciding she didn't like his weed, she left under her own free will. And as you might have guessed, Ocoee detectives, they didn't believe Jimmy either. But with no evidence to hold him, he was released without charges. 2 days later, detectives brought him back in for another interview, and this time, he agreed to take a polygraph, which, according to detectives, he failed. After that, he asked for an attorney, ending the interview, and again, he was free to go. Following that interview, bloodhounds and cadaver dogs were brought into the location where Tracy's car was found. The dogs didn't pick up on her scent, leading handlers to theorize that Tracy hadn't been in the car at that location when it was dumped. Detectives then proceeded to search the areas around Jimmy's home, but nothing stood out. And I do want to note that Tracy's car was also processed for DNA, but once again, nothing notable was found as far as we know. However, detectives remained suspicious of Jimmy, but they didn't have the probable cause to arrest him. So they went through Tracy's background looking for any other possible leads, but nothing panned out. Detectives then looked at Tracy's phone pings, and according to the Orlando Sentinel, they learned that the last call made from Tracy's phone was at 4:30 a.m. on the 27th, and it pinged off a tower near Jimmy's home. And before I go any further, I just want to mention that I did do some research to try to find out who that phone call was to, and I was unable to locate anything. If anybody out there has it, by all means, you can send it to me. But I would love to know if that call was made to someone in her contact list, or was it just a random number? And did the phone keep ringing? Did it go to the other person's voicemail? Was there anything there of significance? I have to imagine it wasn't. So we're only able to take what we have, which is still critical. And that's that Tracy's phone was still operational at 4:30 a.m. And even more importantly than that, it pinged in the area of Jimmy's house. And that wasn't the only time, because her phone also pinged near his house at 8 a.m. when Liz called to check on her. Detectives found these times extremely significant. If you remember, just a few minutes ago, I told you that Jimmy had claimed Tracy left his house around 2 a.m. So they were really curious as to why her phone was still pinging near his house 3 hours later. On June 1st, just 6 days after Tracy disappeared, detectives executed a search warrant at Jimmy's home. They were hoping to find Tracy's clothes, her keys, her wallet, or her phone, but none of those items were located. However, they did find a marijuana bong, and they arrested Jimmy for possession of drug paraphernalia. They also seized his computer. A later search of that computer showed that Jimmy had spent hours on May 30th and May 31st looking up, quote, how to commit suicide. All right, so let's pause for a second and kind of process all of this, because there's a few things in here. First and foremost, the pings. What do we take away from that? I think my part-time detectives out there have already figured this one out. One of two things. Either Tracy was in possession of her phone at 4:30 and attempted to call someone and they didn't pick up, or someone else had her phone and was using it for whatever reason, or maybe even butt-dialed someone. The second call at 8 a.m., the fact that Tracy didn't answer, you have to assume that she was no longer in possession of her phone. That's because either she was already rendered unconscious or unable to get to her phone, or she was no longer at that location, but her phone was left behind there. Either way, it's not good. It's not good for Tracy. It's not good for her family, because with the first scenario, pretty obvious, right? She's either restrained, unconscious, or deceased. And the second scenario is really no better when you really think about it, because in the first scenario, she's physically incapable of answering the phone for a variety of reasons. The second scenario is she's been separated from her phone. She may have been removed from Jimmy's home and the phone could have been left behind, or in the process of removing Tracy from the home, whether she's still alive or not, the phone was dumped in a secondary location. So that's the only difference from scenario number one. And like I said, either one, not ideal. And the last part of this is equally concerning, because the last person to be seen with Tracy has now been identified, is now being spoken to by law enforcement, and is now searching the phrase "how to commit suicide." Not good. That means they feel like there's something going down here, and it may be a matter of days before they're behind bars and they're looking for an alternate way out. And so one of the first things I would be doing would be looking up to see if he had searched this phrase before Tracy went missing, before detectives came and spoke with him. If he had, that's better. But if this is the first time he's looking it up after being spoken to by detectives, it's not good. Another piece of this puzzle that's leading us down a road that we don't want to go down. And at this point, Jimmy was a person of interest in Tracy's disappearance. So his drug paraphernalia arrest received news coverage. And within just minutes of his image airing, Okoye detectives received a call from a woman I'm going to refer to as Kate to protect her identity. And by the way, before I get into Kate's story, this drug paraphernalia charge, although legitimate, let me just give you a little inside baseball here. There's no doubt they charged him with this bong because they felt like he was responsible for whatever happened to Tracy, and they were looking for something to arrest him on. Like I said, he was out on bail, so it wasn't going to take much to put him back behind bars, ensuring that he didn't kill himself, he didn't flee the state, or he didn't hurt someone else. So that this is something that, without a doubt, as soon as I read it, I chuckled a little bit, because there's no doubt in my mind that if he wasn't being investigated for Tracy's disappearance, they probably would have looked the other way on this bong charge. But when you're grasping at straws and you're looking for anything to get this guy off the street, this is what they latched onto. So definitely within the rules, but I can promise you in most cases, this would not be something that they would be arresting you on, and it definitely wouldn't be getting any news coverage. Okay, so let's talk about Kate. According to the Orange Observer, Kate told detectives that on August 7th, 2008, Jimmy, who was a friend of hers at the time, brutally attacked her. She said she had gone to the police at the time and that Jimmy had been a suspect, but he was never arrested. Kate explained that on August 7th, she and Jimmy both attended the same house party. At some point during the night, partygoers accused Jimmy of rifling through purses and trying to steal items. He was told to leave, so a mutual friend asked Kate to drive him home, and she agreed. After they arrived at Jimmy's apartment complex in Seminole County, he invited her inside to smoke weed, but she declined. She gave him a hug while they were still in the car, and that's when everything changed. Kate said Jimmy wouldn't let her go. He squeezed her tighter and tighter, and she told him multiple times, "Stop, it hurts. Please stop, you're hurting me," but he wouldn't release her. Kate struggled and managed to break free, but Jimmy lunged at her again, and this time he put her in a chokehold and squeezed even harder. She escaped again and ran from the vehicle screaming, quote, "Please help me, this guy's trying to kill me." She then tripped, and Jimmy grabbed her by the hair and slammed her head onto the curb. As he did, he said, quote, "Don't make me kill you." He then tried to twist her neck and break it. The Orlando Sentinel reported that neighbors heard Kate screaming and they came outside, and that's when Kate was able to break free and Jimmy fled the scene. She ran into a neighbor's home and then called 911, and Kate told them that her attacker was, quote, Jimmy Hathaway. However, when police arrived, he was already gone. In the days that followed this horrible attack, Seminole County Police tried to locate Jimmy but couldn't find him. They filed paperwork with the state's attorney's office, but Jimmy was never charged or arrested. And I don't know why he was never charged, but according to the chief assistant state attorney, charges were never filed because Kate didn't respond when the office attempted to reach her. And I don't know what the truth is. I don't know what really occurred. I don't know how many attempts they made to actually reach her. But after learning about all of this and what happened with Kate, the Okoye detectives felt almost certain that Jimmy was responsible for whatever happened to Tracy. Tracy's parents, Joe and Liz, they agreed with detectives. They believed that Jimmy had attacked Tracy the same way he attacked Kate, only this time Tracy wasn't able to escape. And the good news here is that even though Jimmy wasn't charged the first time, after Kate came forward again, Seminole County reopened the case. Jimmy was extradited there and charged with a range of crimes, including attempted murder. And just a side note here, Tracy's parents attended every hearing that they were able to because they were determined to follow Kate's case as closely as they could because they knew that Jimmy was somehow connected to whatever happened to Tracy. And the residual benefit of Kate's case getting more attention was that Tracy's case was also getting more media attention. And as it did, Jimmy's name would appear more in the headlines. And as that happened, additional information about his past began to surface. A woman told the Orlando Sentinel that she knew Jimmy from the Seminole County bar scene, but only in a casual way. She said that in June of 2008, he asked her to give him a ride home, and once he was inside the car, he exposed himself and tried to force her to engage in oral sex. She refused, drove him back to the bar, dropped him off, and left. She never reported the incident to police. But you're starting to see a pattern here, right? This is a bad dude. He has an issue with women, and he has an MO here, right? He tries to lure these women away from the public area, gets them alone in a vehicle or back to his residence, and that's when he makes his move. Fortunately for these two women, they are okay. They're still with us. But what you're looking at here is a situation like Joe and Liz kind of laid out where Tracy potentially was attacked as well, and she wasn't as lucky. The public also learned that Jimmy had been linked to another disappearance, that of his friend Onda Chris George, who had been missing since February of 2009. Jimmy was named as a person of interest early on, but years later, George was found deceased. His death was ruled a drowning, and Jimmy was cleared. Because of that finding, we're not going into the details of George's disappearance here, but I still think it's worth noting. So, with Jimmy behind bars, the search for Tracy continued, with detectives focusing on areas he was known to frequent, but there was no sign of Tracy anywhere. According to the Sentinel, detectives continued pushing for tips, hoping someone had seen or heard something useful. Then in late June, they received a call from someone who reported seeing a bright yellow vehicle on the shoulder of a road in the early morning hours of May 27th in a remote area of Lake Apopka. The caller said the car was facing the opposite direction of traffic, slightly off the road with the headlights on. After receiving this tip, detectives searched the lake area, but they didn't find anything. However, I do want to point out that just because they didn't find anything, it doesn't mean that nothing of value was there. It could be something linking to Tracy or Tracy herself. When you think about the success rate of finding something, you have to think about the actual area, the topography of it. You have water, you have foliage, you have a lot of factors that could complicate the situation. You also have to consider that this is a big area and they don't know exactly where to search. Just because the car is seen on the road, that still means it can go in any direction as far as where any evidence, and this is small, right? This is a small piece of evidence. You're looking for keys, a wallet, a piece of clothing. It literally is a needle in a haystack. So it's just something worth mentioning, and what I'm about to talk about now is going to prove my point, because in August, deputies with the Orange County Sheriff's Department were out doing routine horseback training near State Road 50 and Blueford Avenue when they found a woman's black boot in Tracy's size. Detectives investigating Tracy's disappearance had actually searched that area before because Jimmy was known to frequent it, but they hadn't found that boot. So that right there shows you they're in the right area, they're searching for the right stuff, but they didn't find it. So that just proves how difficult these searches can be. When detectives learned about the boot discovery, they were immediately interested. They collected the boot as evidence and brought in cadaver dogs to search the surrounding area, but the dogs didn't alert anywhere else. Still, detectives believed the boot could belong to Tracy, so they brought in her friends and family to take a look at it, and multiple people told detectives it was hers, including a friend who said it matched a pair that Tracy regularly kept in her car. So that even makes more sense when you think about it, where if something happened to Tracy and she was transported in her own vehicle, maybe she was wearing the boot, or maybe when they were removing her from the vehicle, They thought that boot was on her at some point, so they wanted to get rid of that as well. Anything that could be connected to her, they removed it from the car and left it in the woods. So this is extremely important because now you have multiple people saying, yeah, we know Tracy, we know what she used to wear, and this boot belonged to her. And according to the Sentinel, this boot was made from a very specific material, not the kind of item that was easily mistaken for another black boot. So this only added to the belief that this boot did in fact belong to Tracy. And just one more note about the boot, because I want to make sure we're covering all of our bases. Investigators did send the boot off for testing, hoping for an affirmative match, but there wasn't enough DNA to determine who it belonged to. However, if you asked Tracy's friends and family, the boot was hers. Now let's fast forward a little bit to May 26, 2010, which was a little over 1 year after Tracy was last seen by her family. And at that time, Ocoee detectives publicly stated that Jimmy was their only suspect in her disappearance and likely murder. They said, quote, "We believe Jimmy Hathaway did it. He is suspected of killing her." But even with that statement, no charges were filed. We have more to cover, including the outcome from Kate's trial. We're going to get into that right after this break. You ever go through something tough, maybe a breakup, burnout, or even just that creeping anxiety that won't let you sleep at night and you're laying there thinking, I wish I had someone to talk to who actually gets it? Trust me, I've been there and I've seen how powerful therapy can be, not only for me, but for my friends, for my family, and for the people who were close to me and were really struggling and needed help. But let's be honest, getting access to the right therapist can be a nightmare. You call around, people aren't taking new clients, they're not in your network, or it costs a fortune, and that's where Rula comes in. Rula is changing the game. They make high-quality mental health care accessible and affordable. Most people pay only $15 a session, and they take most major insurance. You answer a few quick questions, and you're matched with a licensed professional who meets your preferences, and you can be talking with someone as soon as the next day. And by the way, Rula has over 15,000 therapists and psychiatrists in their network. And Rula doesn't just leave you hanging after that. They actually stay with you, checking in on your progress, making sure you're getting what you need out of therapy. Whether it's a therapist or even a psychiatrist to help with medication management, Rula's got you covered. So if you've been thinking about therapy, or even if this is the first time you're considering it, this is your sign. Thousands of people have already trusted Rula to support them on their journey toward improved mental health and overall well-being. Head over to rula.com/detective to get started today. After you sign up, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. I'd really appreciate if you support our show by telling them that we sent you. Once again, that's rula.com/detective and take the first step towards better mental health today. You deserve quality care from someone who cares. I'm really excited about this sponsor because I don't have a lot of time to talk about finances on this channel, but it's something that I'm very conscious of, especially with children. And I'm always looking for ways to diversify my financial portfolio. Yes, I have money in IRAs and mutual funds and all those other things that you would normally have your investments in, but I also invest in gold and silver. It's something that I feel is a tangible product that I can have in my home. And if the stuff really hits the fan, having gold and silver as a physical asset is never a bad thing. And buying gold now is simple. You see, owning gold, it used to be very complicated, but Acre Gold has made it simple. And all you have to do is pick a subscription plan that fits your budget, make small automatic monthly payments, no huge upfront cost. And then once you've built up enough, Acre Gold will ship you Swiss-made certified 24-karat gold bars straight to your door discreetly and securely. That's it. No guesswork, just steady accumulation of real wealth. And this isn't some crazy concept. People have been buying gold forever. I actually wish I bought more gold years ago when it was essentially a third of the price it is right now, but it is what it is. I believe in the long run, gold will be even higher than it is right now. And that's what I'm investing in. And I'm not the only one that's doing this because Acre has customers who have been subscribers for over 5 years because accumulating gold, it's not going out of style anytime soon. And as I just mentioned, gold has been on an absolute tear as of late. The price has risen over 40% just in the last year. So the best time to subscribe is now. So stop working for your money and make your money work for you. Go to getacregold.com to sign up. That's getacregold.com. acregold.com to sign up today. All right, we're back. And before break, I had just mentioned that law enforcement had now publicly come out and said Jimmy was their one and only suspect in the disappearance and potential death of Tracy. And yet there were no charges. And I know that can be very frustrating for a lot of people. And it goes back to that phrase from Training Day. It's not what you know, it's what you can prove. And I've said it before, and I cringe when I have to say it in a case like this, especially how I'm going to end this episode when I get into my perspective. But it is important to make sure that we not only find the guilty, but also clear the innocent. And I've said this phrase before, I don't know if I've said it here, but I'd rather see 1,000 guilty men go free than one innocent man go to prison for a crime he didn't commit. And I stand by that. I can live with someone I know committing a crime and getting away with it because I don't have enough to charge them. What I wouldn't want to live with under any circumstances, and I'm fortunate enough that that hasn't been the case so far as I know, is to find out that I charged someone and they were sent to prison for any amount of time for a crime they didn't commit, and I was responsible for that. That would be a very hard pill for me to swallow, and that is something that I always considered in every case that I worked. So as much as we may think Jimmy's the guy, and spoiler alert, I do think he's the guy, there are possibilities out there where something else could have occurred, and we have to make sure that we dot all of our I's and cross all of our T's to try and rule out any other possible scenario before we take the shot. And I'm going to talk about taking the shot at the end as well. But yes, very frustrating. Police know what they have here. They think they have their guy, but they just don't have enough probable cause to make the arrest. And I promise you, as frustrating as it is for the family and the friends, it's equally as frustrating for the investigators. So even though we don't really have any progression in Tracy's case at this point, we do have a lot of movement in Kate's case. In fact, it's in trial at this point. So in March of 2011, Jimmy went to trial for the attempted murder on Kate, and he was found guilty on all charges and sentenced to life in prison. Tracy's parents were relieved. Joe told the Orange Observer, quote, "If there's any comfort, it's that he's behind bars and he won't destroy another family like he destroyed our family." Liz added, quote, "It's not justice for Tracy, but he can't do it to anyone else. I couldn't have said it better myself." After the trial, the investigation into Tracy's disappearance continued, but there were no major updates in the case. By May 2025, it had been 16 years since Tracy disappeared. Detectives told WFTV 9 that they were still actively working the case and that Jimmy Hadaway remained their suspect. Unfortunately, that's the most recent update we have in Tracy's case. She is still missing, and Jimmy has never been charged in connection with her disappearance. Despite this, detectives and Tracy's parents have made it clear that they won't give up until they bring Tracy home, where she belongs. All right, let's dive into the perspective, and it's going to be different than any perspective we've ever done before. I'm going to start with what we can do, the community, and it's what we're doing right now, talking about Tracy, sharing her story, and making sure that anyone from that area knows about what happened. They may not know exactly what happened to Tracy, but just like one of the witnesses we had that had seen potentially her vehicle, maybe there's someone else out there like that that can give us a new piece of the puzzle that can help connect the dots so that we can finally get justice for Tracy and her family. So to recap that portion of it, on the night of May 26, 2009, 27-year-old Tracy Ocasio watched the Orlando Magic game at the Tap Room in Orlando, Florida, and left around 1:30 a.m. She never made it home, and her mother discovered she was missing the next morning. That evening, Tracy's yellow Chevy Cobalt was found abandoned a few miles from her house, with no sign of Tracy or none of her belongings inside. Surveillance footage later confirmed that she left the bar with James Jimmy Hadaway, who became the primary suspect. Despite extensive searches, Tracy has never been found, her case remains opened, and Jimmy has never been charged in connection with her disappearance. If you have any information about this case, please call the crime line at 1-800-423-TIPS. And now I want to spend the rest of this perspective talking to potentially one of the few people who can actually make a difference in this case. And that's you, Jimmy. I don't know what led you to the things that you did, the actions that you carried out, what happened in your childhood that caused you to become this person. Only you know that. What I do know is that I believe you're responsible for whatever happened to Tracy. And there are at least two people out there right now named Joe and Liz who do not know where their daughter is. You may have the information to answer that question. You alone may have the ability to reunite them with their loved one. It's not going to change much for you. You're still going to spend the rest of your life behind bars, but you can clear a little bit of your conscience before you leave this earth. It's not going to change whatever happened to Tracy, but at least you would allow Joe and Liz to grieve and to bury their loved one and go visit her whenever they want to. It's not going to be enough for them ever. I'm asking you as a father to give them at least that much. It kills me to do this, but looking at this case, it appears you might have got lucky. And it pains me to say that, but I think that's probably something you've already concluded as well. Does that mean you have to go to your grave with that information? No. You're a grown man. You can make your own choices. There's still time to do the right thing. And I really hope you do. And in exchange for that, if I'm capable of doing so, this is what my offer is to you. Maybe there's something that can occur with law enforcement. I doubt it. But if that's not the case, maybe there's something that I can do. If there's more to the story that needs to be told, in exchange for you telling us where Tracy is, I will fly to wherever you are, if they allow me to, and I will come and see you, and I will give you a fair interview to allow you to share your story. Not going to say I'm not going to call you out on anything that I don't agree with or that I think you're just saying to say, but I'll give you that opportunity. I will come meet you where you are and we'll talk. And I will decide what makes it here, but I will share that information if you tell us where Tracy is. That's my offer, and I hope you take me up on it. But what if Jimmy decides not to take me up on my offer? Does that mean we just quit and go home? No, it means we have to work harder. We have had cases before where it's a nobody homicide and someone is charged and convicted of murder. And that may be what we have to do here. Investigators are really going to have to work hard. From the tap room, to her leaving the bar with Jimmy, to her phone pings, to the sighting of her vehicle in the early morning hours, to where her car was abandoned. They're going to have to paint a picture for that jury, which will include Jimmy's criminal history, his past, his MO, and how close it resembles what was transpiring on the night of Tracy's disappearance. There's still hope here. Is it a long shot? Absolutely, but we're not out of outs. There's still avenues to explore. One of those avenues, which would be the first step in a no-body murder charge, would be to declare Tracy dead. And that is a decision that rests solely with Joe and Liz. And that's a very difficult decision to make. So whatever they decide to do, we all need to support them. Speaking of which, as always, my final words go out to the friends and family of Tracy, specifically Joe and Liz. I talk about cases that involve children all the time. Yes, Tracy was 27 years old, but she was still your baby. And I can imagine living in a world not knowing where my daughters are. So I feel for you, and I'm thinking about you, and I'm here with you, and I'm willing to do whatever I can to bring her home. And I really hope that happens sooner than later. And if it does, I'll be right back here behind this desk sharing that information with all of you. Until then, everyone stay safe out there, and I'll see you next week.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.